Okay. So last week, we hacked our way through the jungle of Memtesimid base, through basically Nunamid base, and where we got up to, right, we started with the question of what happens if the Kohen Gadol dies while in the middle of the avoda of the Par Kohen Gadol, right, the chatas that the Kohen Gadol takes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So can the replacement Kohen Gadol take the vessel of blood and bring that with him to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or does he have to take a new cow, right, and shecht it from scratch? So we were working through that Gemara, and then from there the Gemara started talking about whether the chatas itself is a karban tzibur, right? Is it a karban yachid, or is it something in between? Is it a karban hashutven? Right? Those are three different options which are being presented on Nun Amud Aleph, right? It could be a karban belonging to the nation as a whole, which doesn't mean the nation as a whole, right? It means who's the tzibur which would be getting kapara from the par? The Kohanim, right? It's for the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim. So maybe it's a carbon hatibor. Maybe it's a carbon hayachid, right? Maybe it's only kapara only is going to the Kohen Gadol. Or maybe it's a carbon hashutfin, right? Maybe it's a carbon of partnership, right? We can't call it a carbon hatibor because it's only to the Kohanim. But it's not an individual carbon either. The main nafkamina that the Gemara talked about, the way that got us into this discussion in the first place, maybe remember, right? What got Rav Amram started.
So
Tamur, exactly right. So hold both of those, right? So Tamur is going to come up. So hold it for a second, right? Lisa's right, right? If the Kohen Gadol dies, so if you have a chatas and the owner of the chatas dies, so the rule is that the chatas may not be brought, right? Ravin Bar Ravada talks with Rava about this, and the question is that if the Kohen Gadol dies, so why are we talking about whether or not the new Kohen Gadol can take the Karban Chatas and run with it, right? We should have a problem. It's a Chatas whose owner has died, so it should be, the game should be over, right? So that's why Rav Amram, and Abaye agrees with Rav Amram, answer that no, right? This is a Chatas of the Tzibor. When you have a Chatas of the Tzibor, that is a totally different halacha. We do not say that it goes to waste. You can bring a Chatas of the Tzibor. Likewise, right, Rav's position that it's a Karban of partners, so if one partner dies, the other partners can step in and bring the carbon anyway, right? So those two positions will explain why if the Kohen Gadol dies, you could still go with the carbon. Then all of a sudden, Anunamibes, right, when we turn the page, we like resuscitated the view that it's a carbon yachid, right? And we still need to figure out, and we will not figure that out tonight, what happened to the idea that if it's a carbon yachid, it should go to waste if the Kohen Gadol dies. But we had the discussion of it being a carbon yachid. And that brought up the nafkamina, which was, right, can you make a tamura with this carbon, right? So reminder, what is tamura?
It's like when you designate a carbon and then you want to replace it with something else.
Right, exactly, right? So you have so you designated Betsy the cow as your carbon, and then you decide you want to bring Rosie the cow instead, right? So you want to do a switcheroo, and you cannot do that, right? It's the Chumash in B'chukosai says you can't do a switch. If you do, what happens?
Who
to Marasa Yakodesh? Exactly, right? Both of them become Kadosh, right? So you lose out, because instead of bringing just one animal as a carbon, you will have to bring two. The rule is, which category of carbonos can you do Tamura on, and which categories of Tamura carbon can you not do Tamura on?
You can do it on a Yachid, but not Shutfin.
Exactly, right? You can do it if there's one owner, then you can do a Tamura. If there's more than one owner, you may not. Any idea why that might be the case off the head, Svara? Why one, an individually owned carbon you could do Tamura, but a multiply owned carbon you can't do Tamura?
Maybe the ownership is not clear. Like, it's like, it could still be that this carbon is atoning for, you know, one person, but like another, and now another carbon is atoning for another person. Like, it's unclear, like, which carbon was exchanged and which carbon is, like, actually coming to be a carbon.
Okay, so let's just end the case, right? So the two of us go into business and we buy a carbon Ola. Right, and now you want to switch that animal with a different animal,
yeah.
Right? So since it's a carbon shutvin, because we're shutvin in this carbon, so you can't switch it, and I can't switch it, right? So why should that be?
Like, then if I were to switch it, and then let's say you have maybe there's a particular like ownership over the other one, you still have like chetzi ownership on the other one, and then, like, now all of a sudden, like, I just bring this new one, and like, it's, I don't know, maybe it's, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, in other words, right, since neither one of us has full control over the animal, right? So
that's the case.
So okay, so we can talk about that, right? What happens if they agree, right? What happens if they agree? So that if we're learning Torah, we could wonder about that, right? But definitely, b'pashtus, there's a certain lack of ownership, right? A certain lack of control when you have to share the animal with someone else, right? And that lack of control would dictate that you can't make it a tamura, right? If I own the animal, so then I can control its destiny, and then we can have tamura. But if you have partners who are co-owners in a carbon, no one owner can direct the destiny of the carbon, right? And so then what Kobe's raising is the question of, you know, is the sum less than the whole of its parts, right? So if you had two people if the two shifts got together, right, if Raquel and I both agreed to make this a tamura, so would we say that, well, in such a situation, we could do so? Or would you say that, right, since neither one of us is a full owner, right, two halves do not equal a whole, right? So if we were talking about tamura, that would be a great discussion. For our purposes, right, so the idea that if it's a carbon, if the par held over, the par kohen gadol is a carbon of the tzibur, or a carbon of shutzvin, there's no tamura option, so that makes a lot of sense. So now, right, what the Gemara asks on Nehemiah Beis, right, what does Rabbi Elazar ask? Right, the very beginning of the Makaros for this week. Whether or not you can do tamura, according to which position? If it's carbon yachid, right? If it's a carbon tzibur, no way there's tamura. If it's a carbon shutfin, no way there's tamura. What if it's a carbon yachid? Okay, if it's carbon yachid, so first of all, who's the owner?
Kongado.
So why, yeah?
Are we talking about a brand new case, or are we talking about still in the case of the Kongado who died and the second?
It shouldn't make a difference. Let's forget about the dying Kohen Gadol for now, just to keep things simple, right? A regular standard Adme Aviaser Roshana Kohen Gadol. Okay, so if it's a carbon yachid, why on earth should there not be tamura?
Because other people can be machaber.
Exactly, right? Because even though it's his carbon, you have other kohanim who are getting kapara. So isn't that tarti desatrei, right? Isn't that a contradiction? If he's the owner, if it's carbon yachid, how can we have multiple people getting kapara? What does that mean?
He was mekadeshet. Or it could be like Gemara says, or like it's really mainly for him, but everyone else sort of like off his, like based off his kapara, they get kapara.
Okay, good. So let's read that key line in the Gemara, right? So the Gemara asks, and then the Gemara first the Gemara talks about the difference between the Makdish and the Miskaper, right? Who's the Makdish and who's the Miskaper? What are those two categories?
Makdish is one who's Makdish the Karba, right. Makaper is one who's the Makaper based on the bringing of the Karba.
Exactly, right? So if I want to get you a birthday present, right? So if I bought Adam a goat and I said, Adam, here is a carbonola, right? So I was the Makdish, but you're going to be the Miskaper, right? So what's the halacha?
In terms of
what? Well, the Gemara gives two things, right?
In terms of, if it gets begam and you want to be poder,
right,
then the makdish will have to pay chomesh.
Exactly. So I will, right, if the animal gets a mum, we want to redeem it, so you pay the value of the carbon, right, but you have to pay an extra fifth, right? So the person who bought, right, I laid out the money for the ola, and I got to lay out more money, right, because I, the makdish, will be responsible to pay the extra chomesh. And what about tamura? So which one of the two of us gets to has machaper
does tamura?
Machaper does tamura, right? So I am the makdish is the owner in the area of pidyon, right, in the area of redemption, and the miskaper is the owner in the area of tamura, right?
What's the difference between you giving it as a gift and like him being your shaliach? Like, is that a case where you like ask him to bring it for you?
Yes, so if I'm a shliach, then I have no connection to the animal at all, right? You're in Tel Aviv, and you want to bring an ola, right? So I'm going to Yerushalayim, so I'll take your animal for you and bring it on your behalf, but that gives me no...
Okay, and if I need to replace it, then I replace it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So if the miskaper, if the one who gets atonement is the one who... is one who does tamura, so then we've got a problem, right? Because we have many, many kohanim who are getting kapara from this animal, right? So what exactly was Rabbi Elazar's question, right? So the Gemara answers. So the Gemara says, right, Li'olam, one line under the Ein Mishpat Gimel, right, Li'olam Pshita Lei, right, we always assumed, Debasar Meskaper Aslinan, we always assumed that Temura, we care about the one who's getting atonement. V'achi Kami Ba'ele, and here's what we wanted to know. Echav HaKohanim, right, the Kohen Gadol's fellow Kohanim, his brother priests, B'kviyusa Meskapri Odelma B'kufya Miskapri, right? So, do they get their atonement b'kviyusa, or do they get their atonement b'kufya? So we have to be very clear on what these two terms are, because we're going to talk about for the next 57 minutes. So what is kviyusa and what is kufya? What is the Gemara talking about here?
What are these two terms? When they all get the kapari equally, as all equal kapers, but b'kufya is when the Kohen Gadol is the main chaper, but based on his kapara, all his brethren get their kapara.
Yeah. So who says that?
Rashi.
Right. So Rashi says that kviyusa. Right. So what's the shorash of kviyusa?
Keva.
Right. So why is it keva? Because they're fixed. What does it mean? They're fixed in the karban. So Rashi says that they are kishar miskaprim. Right. They are like all other atonis. Right. And they have a chilek in the karban. Right, and how does Rashi end off? Right, so since they have a piece of the carbon, hav yela chatas hashutvin lenin tamura. Right, so if it's a case of kapara b'kviyusa, so then they are partners. They are full fledged partners, and therefore, can you make a tamura?
No.
Right, so it's kviyusa. Then they have a share. If they have a share, they're partners. And what about kufya? So Rashi says a kufya you can compare it to something floating, right? It's like their kapara is floating on the kapara of the Kohen Gadol, right? That the real miskaper is the Kohen Gadol, and somehow through the Kohen Gadol getting his kapara, right? Something I'll talk about, how does this work? Through the Kohen Gadol getting his kapara, somehow they get their kapara. But since the primary atoni is the Kohen Gadol, right? And secondarily, derech agav, come the other kohanim, it's really a karban yachid, and therefore the Kohen Gadol can make a tamura. Okay, so any questions about the position of kviyusa in the context of the Gemara, right? There should be something that bothers us here, because there seems to be a contradiction from the beginning of the Gemara to the end of the Gemara.
It makes it seem like it's not a karban yachid anymore.
100%, right, exactly. We started the discussion, right, saying, according to the position that it's a karban yachid, is there tamura or not? And then the Gemara said, "Oh, this depends if the kapara is bikviusa or bikufya, right? If it's fixed, they have a share in the carbon kapara or not." Question is, the way Rashi is describing kviusa, it sounds like this isn't a carbon yacha anymore, right? So, so that's a problem. So what we're going to have to say, that there's a difference between the level of ownership needed for Temura purposes and the level of ownership needed for, what was the original halacha that we talked about back in Nunam and Aleph?
Oda?
No?
Oh.
The question that launched our whole discussion.
Oh,
Dabo. Kargon dies, right? So the question of what's a carbon yachid and what's a carbon shutfin for Misa will be different from what's a carbon yachid or what's a carbon sibor for Temura, right? So what exactly is that going to look like? So if you have, let's say, a scale of 1 to 10, right? So 10 is a full owner and 1 is a zero owner. So let's say these Kohanim who are getting kapara mi kviusa, so let's say there are 9. Right, so we're saying, look, if you have the ownership of a 9, that's enough to prevent anybody from doing a tamura, but it's not enough to prevent this from having to die if the main owner of the carbon dies. Right, so if the Kohen Gadol dies, the carbon will have to go to waste because everyone else is not on a high enough level to prevent that from happening. But they are on a high enough level that he's not the only man in town, and therefore he can't do a tamura on his carbon. Does that make sense, or do we need to clarify that a little bit? Okay, so we've got two different issues, right? One is, if the owner of a kachatas dies, so now his animal has no attainable destiny, right? So it has to go to waste, right? Topic two is if you have an owner of a karban who has competition from fellow owners, he's not able to perform. He's not able to do a temura. So we are saying right now that according to the position that it is a karban yachid, so the Kohen Gadol is enough of a yachid that it's his karban, and if he dies, the karban is doomed, right? But it's enough of their karban that he can't call himself the only man in town, and therefore he's not able to do a temura to his own karban. Right, their competition is enough to prevent him from making a temura, but they are not strong enough that if he dies, right, one of them could step up and lead the team instead. Right, okay, you know, it's like you know, machlokas, basketball fans on this, but back when Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on the same team, right, so people would say that you know, Westbrook has enough, he's the second best player on the team. Durant was the best player on the team, right? So and the second best player took all the shots, right? So he's taking enough shots that he's preventing the top guy from starring, but if the top guy went out, the second guy wouldn't be able to carry the team on his own, right? So that's kind of what's going on over here. Okay, so that's Kufya or Kiva, according to Rashi. Rabbi Hananel? Were people see Rabbi Hananel on Kiva or Kufya?
Oh, we didn't end up doing it. We said
okay.
We were going to come back.
Okay, good. It was something to see if you had time to come back to, because...
We turned to it, and then we just...
Okay. Were you able to get to Tosos and the Rav?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was the more important part, yeah. So I'm glad. Okay, so Rabbi Nachman happens to have a whole different view of what Kufya and Kiva is. He thinks that it has nothing to do with the level of ownership in the karban. He thinks that it just has to do with the timing of when the other kohanim come into the picture. He thinks that Kiva means that they're in the picture from the get-go. You know, when the Kohen Gadol designates his karban, he designates it for all the other kohanim as well. And Kufya means that they all... Lehakif, they all come around him, and when he does the vidoy, at that point at the end of the stage is when the other kohanim get the kapara, which means that there's until the very, very last moment, the Kohen Gadol is really the only owner, and he could have made a temura.
How could you really say that though? Because this happens every year, every Yom Kippur. Like, so how could you really like separate? You know that the kohanim are going to be involved. You know that.
So like, he buys the bull. And then the bull sits in his backyard, and it's designated for him, and he owns it, and the other kohanim have nothing to do with it. And then when it's time for the kapara, he brings it out, and he says vidui, and they all listen. And at that moment, he brings them into the picture. They know it's not a surprise, but
so what's the other option?
When he first buys the karban, right? So do they become partners when he buys it? Or does he only bring them into his karban at the last moment when he says his vidui, right? And then immediately after he says his vidui, right? Immediately after he does that, he shechts it, right? Because as soon as you do vidui along with smicha, right? And as soon as you do your vidui with your smicha, you have to shecht it right afterwards, right? So it's alive for like 10 seconds after his vidui. Okay, fine.
Rabbi Nachman. Wait, once he does vidui, though, and they all join in for the vidui, then he can no longer do temura.
Correct, but that's not what the Gemara is talking about, because you've got a 10-second window, right? So it's not so relevant to talk about can the Kohen Gadol do temura after vidui, because that's a 5-second window.
So I had a question around this regarding
.
This might be just kind of total lack of knowledge on how karbanot work, but when he buys it, right? So for the opinion that he holds that. They mitzdarif when he buys it. If he bought the korban and he wanted to, can the Kohen Gadol theoretically buy the korban with the express purpose of shechting it for this korban, but then use the animal for a different korban? Because if so, wouldn't it to some extent, like if so, that would kind of be a put a difficulty in the argument that they all own it collectively. Because, meaning, can he then, like if he buys it, he says this is... Kudash for the temple, and he means it to be used for the Yom Kippur korban. Can he then use it for a different korban? Because if he can, then how could you say that there is mizdarif with him at the moment that he is purchasing the animal when he can use it for a different korban?
So it's a very good question. So when he buys the animal, so he's not designating it just for temple use, right? He has to designate it as a korban chatas, right? So he has to make it a korban chatas when he designates it. Normally, which animal usually is used as a chatas?
Not a par.
Not a par. Par is very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
A seer, right? Normally a chatas is a seer. Right, so this bull happens to be a very special bull, that this is the, I think it's the only, well, not quite, but it's, yeah, basically, the only bull which is used as a carbon chatas. Except for the...
Ireland doors.
Exactly, and the Kohen Mashiach and those other special ones, right? Okay.
So we gave two answers to this question of, in Temura, it wouldn't work for Temura, but it's still a Korban Yachid. The one is at these different levels of Temura, and this other one, I didn't fully understand. This other one is saying that.
Rabbeinu Hananel thinks that Kiva or Kufya has nothing to do with level of ownership.
Meaning
it
in
just,
both cases, they are not owners at all.
They're actually full owners.
Oh, they're full owners.
Yeah,
and that's why Temura doesn't.
But they don't become full owners until the last second.
Regardless.
So it's a carbon yachid until the very end.
Even if you say.
I hadn't thought of that. Because
then they're not really kvia until the last second. So up until that time, Temura can still be done. So
if you say kvia, it's not even.
But
a question.
Yeah,
if
but.
You say kvia,
right, but you're right. The difference between Misa and Temura, you have to say for both Rashi and Rav Chanan. Yeah. You have to say that for both Rashi and Rav Chanan. Okay. So now we want to know, do we say Kufya or do we say Kiva? Right? And what exactly do these two things mean? So Gemara goes on to digression, right? Nun Aleph and Aleph. We have the Karban Pesach digression, which we'll come back in a couple weeks. And now we have this chunk of Gemara on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, which is funny because if you there are at least right Rashi Tosos and the Rashash have three totally different ways of reading punctuating the Gemara, right? So it can get a little dicey. How prepared are we on Nun Aleph Amud Beis?
We did it.
We did,
yeah?
But I don't think we understood the difference in punctuation of like all the distinctions, but we did all of it.
Okay,
yeah.
so let's read the Gemara. Let's read the Gemara with Rashi, and then we'll look at how Tosfos and Rashash answer instead. And probably makes sense. It'll probably be easier if I cannot use the right.
I'll read it. Okay. The tape of play. So the public says, Dasher lo. So the Torah says it has to be brought from his own money.
Right. So, what's the Gemara? The tape of life. So, we're trying to. What are we trying to learn here? Right. The Kohen Gadol has to bring with his own money. The pasuk says that he asher lo, and right? he has to do it with his own money. So, what are we trying to learn from here, according to Rashi? Yeah.
Right. That it's like primarily Kohen who's bringing in, and the Kohanim are like ancillary.
Right. Because if he has to bring it with his own money, right? So why does Torah tell me that? So maybe the Torah is telling me that to tell me that he has to be the primary owner. So if he's the primary owner, Asher, look, he has to bring it. He's the primary owner. So it must be that their kapara is mi kufya, right? They only have that derech agav, indirect, secondary atonement.
Okay. Asher lo, misha lo who may be the lo misha tzibor. So we have a phrase that says the asher lo means misha lo may be, and not from, it should be brought from his own and not from the tzibor. Yachol lo yavi misha tzibor
שאין הסיבור מצחקים בו, אבל יגיד משל אחיו הכהנים, שהרי אחיו הכהנים מצחקים בו. תלמוד לומר, אשר לא, יכול, לא יביא, ואם הביא, okay, I'll translate before I go on. So you can say that he won't bring it from the tzibor, but he would bring it from his brothers, the Kohanim, because they are mitzvahim bo. But tamalomar asher lo yachol lo yavi, you might. Oh, so sorry. Okay, and then continue. Says asher lo, you could think that yachol lo yavi that.
He shouldn't bring it
from the tzibor, but if he did, that it would be kasher. Tamud lo marshu asher lo. That's why it says again asher lo.
Right.
Show us that that's not allowed.
Right. And shana hakasu v'lav v'akev. Right. And this is a rule in karbanos. Right. In karbanos, we have so many psukim. So if you want something to be not just lechachila, we want something to be required. Right. So the Torah has to say it twice. Right. So the Torah twice says the kohen gadol brings it asher lo. And so that tells me that he must bring it on his own behalf. So according to Rashi, this whole piece is an attempted proof, right, that the par is mikufya, right? Because if it's his and it must be his, they must be secondary. Rejects the Gemara. That's a bad proof. Maybe you can't prove from here that it's mikufya. Why? What's the rejection?
But they are mechaper, so it can't be that it's just the coming
bezel. So what does litaimech mean?
According to the opinion,
according to your
reasoning,
right?
If they're not considered owners of the animal, then how could they be mechaper?
Right. Exactly. So if the kohanim are not considered owners, how do they get atonement? Now, wait a second. We're asking, how could they get atonement? Mikufya, right? So it sounds like the Gemara, according to Rashi, has the Gemara. It sounds like it's asking, if they don't have ownership, how do they get kapara mikufya?
It's asking on the concept, kufya now, it doesn't make all the sense.
So yeah, exactly, right? If I would have thought that kiva needs ownership, but kufya does not, right? If they're full-fledged owners, then they have to own a piece of the karma. But if they're just getting kapara on the back of the Kohen Gadol, then maybe they wouldn't need ownership. According to the way Rashi reads the Gemara does not assume that. The Gemara assumes that kufya also requires ownership, and then they got to ask what's the difference between kiva and kufya, so think about that. And that's why the Bach, right, what change does the Bach put in here? Right, so he makes that explicit.
Right.
So the Gemara had asked, right, Tosfos says, asher lo, that the Kohen Gadol must pay for himself, by himself, for the carbon. So doesn't that tell me that everyone else are secondary owners? What's the rejection to that? Right, they must own it. Right, ilav dekana bigvia. And if they didn't own it, then they couldn't get any kapar at all. Means that afilu kufya tzarech kain, right? And then how does the Gemara wrap up? Right, what's the third stage of the Gemara? Let's bring it home.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Ella Shani Be Gaza de Aaron de Afgere Achmana Gabea Chavakonim Hacha Gabe Tmura Tmura Nami Shani Be Gaza de Aaron de Afgere Achmana Gabea Chavakonim. So we say no, it's the Be Gaza de Aaron, the money, I guess, the resources. How would you translate that?
So Be'ei Geza D'Aron. So that's actually a great phrase for us. Geza Yishai, right, is the shoot of Jesse, right?
Yeah.
So Be'ei Geza D'Aron, right? So the house of
Aaron.
The shoot of Aaron, right? Exactly.
Oh,
so who's the shoot of Aaron? Which person is the shoot of Aaron?
The Kohanim.
Kohanim, specifically?
Kohanim.
Sorry? But like for all eternity. The what?
Kohen Gadol.
The Kohen Gadol, right?
Oh,
the Kohen Gadol, right? We talked
right,
at the beginning
of
the year.
And that his resources are like made hefker
by
the Torah.
Yeah.
To all of his brothers in
mm-hmm.
Kohanim. So this applies with regards to Torah. Exactly. So you can do Tumura because it's considered owned by everyone?
How is it owned by everyone if he bought it and paid for it?
Because he's the Kohen Gadol and it's his resources are everyone else's.
Right. The Torah gives his resources to everyone else. And then the Bach adds something there.
Okay.
So once we're saying that they have ownership, thanks to the Torah being very generous with the Kohen Gadol's money, so now we're back to square one, because we can say that they have kapara mi kufya, or we said they have kapara mi kiva, right? We have the fact that the Kohen Gadol buys and pays for it, at the end of the day, doesn't tell us anything. Only Rash reads the Gemara. We have come full circle, and we're back to where we started, right? We started by asking, since he's one who pays for it, maybe they have secondary kapara. Then we rejected that, because even secondary kapara requires ownership, which is a chiddush. And we say that the Torah gives his money to everyone, and therefore we don't have any information. Okay, that's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Yeah.
Right, but doesn't it sort of seem from the pshat of the Gemara? I mean, the Gemara doesn't say off b'kufya. It says b'kufya. It seems to be challenging the whole concept of kufya. And can't you read the Gemara as rejecting the entire concept of kufya and saying, no, there is no idea of kufya. It's just because this is communal ownership, so there's just no concept of kufya. Meaning,
you're saying in that direction. You're
like achiv ha'kohanim, like there's no such thing. Like meaning, it can't. Like the way that I understood the pshat of the Gemara, at least, was saying that. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, what do you mean that there's this like magical system of kufya where like they don't own it but they get kapara?
Yeah.
No, it's not that they don't own it. They do own it. It's communally owned, even though he buys it and pays for it and says alav alav alav. It's communally owned because of the nature of the Kohen Gadol's property in relation to the Kohanim, and therefore, meaning that it doesn't go into the category of kufya, but it's communally owned. It just goes into the category of, like, even if he bought it, like, it is automatically communally owned by the Kohanim.
Okay, so there is a very important Rishon who reads the Gemara exactly that way, and he's right there. That seems to be exactly how the Rambam read the Gemara, which we'll see in 5 minutes. But so 100%. 100%. Read Hey Yogimel, and you'll see that seems to be exactly what the Rambam says. But for Rashi, that's not the case, right? So again, the Chiddush in Rashi, the real Chiddush in Rashi, is that both Kiva and Kufya require some ownership. Even if they're only secondary Miskaprim, they still need to own it on some degree. So Aaron, I thought you were going to read the Gemara the way Tosa does. I thought you were going in Tosa's direction. And Tosa's direction was to start off by saying, let's learn from Asher Lo that the Kohanim, other Kohanim, don't get kapara mi kiva, or kviusa, sorry. They don't even get kapara mi kufya. Maybe we should learn from Asher Lo that who gets kapara from the par Kohen Gadol?
The Kohen Gadol.
Just the Kohen Gadol. Yeah. All right, let's say that, you know, kviusa, no. Kufya, no. They get nothing. Asher Lo, it's his karban. He buys it. He pays for it. He brings it. He gets kapara, and nobody else gets kapara as well. So that's how Tosafot understand the typically the Asher Lo Amar Rachmana, right? Question mark. You put a question mark in there, right? According to Rashi, it was all one extended point all the way down until two-thirds of the Gemara. Tosafot have a question that ends in the first line of the Gemara, and then the Gemara says, no, right? Asher Lo doesn't mean that it's his and nobody else's for kapara. It's his in what regard? Asher lo, who Mishalohu? Maybe, right? No, he just buys and pays for it. But on a kapara level, the other kohanim will indeed get involved, right? So all of a sudden what became for Rashi one statement, for Tosos is a question, and then an answer, right? That he's the he brings it, but they get kapara mi, they get full kapara, full kviusa kapara. Then the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, how could they get full kviusa kapara if he bought it and paid for it? How are they owners? That's utaymech. Achav akonim ilav tekanu bigviya heichi mechaber lehu. Right? How could they? How could they be mechaper and bikviusa if he paid for it? And then the answer is exactly the hafker. Okay. So according to that, right? So we have for Toso, we have much smaller, right? Toso, we have four stages of the Gemara, right? Stage one, we ask no kapara. Right? Then stage two, we said no.
For the Kohanim,
yeah, exactly. Stage two is he pays, but they get full kapara. Big fiusa, exactly. Then we said three, how? Right? If they don't own it, how do they get kapara big fiusa? And the answer was hefgar. So according to Tosfot, do we have any evidence that kufya requires ownership? The low-level kapara of kufya.
You don't even talk about kufya here.
100%. It sounds from Tosos, kipashtas, right, that kufya, this derech agav ownership, this derech agav kapara would not require ownership. It also seems from Tosos that if you had to bet, which type of kapara does it seem like the Kohanim are getting by Tosos reading the whole Gemara? Kufya or kapara? Kufya or kviusa? The way Tosas read the Gemara, which one would you think? From what they have the Gemara spending all its time and effort on. 100%, right? 100%. 100% I would think kviusa, right? If the Gemara is spending all this time trying to figure out how kapara and kviusa is working, then I'm going to bet that indeed that is the type of kapara that they're getting.
He says it also.
Yeah, does he?
Oh no, not in the answer.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I was reading in the Gemara. Yeah. I just wasn't sure what the maskana would be. Okay, fine. So that's Rashi and that's Tosos. So
why did the Gemara getting full kapara in this? Why is that necessarily referring to kufya? Why can't you say it's referring to kufya, but they're still getting, like, they don't have full ownership, but they're still getting full kapara from the kufya association?
Okay, so it could be that our terms are a little bit shaky, and you're 100% right. In other words, when we talk about full kapara or not, so does it, like, is there spiritual bank account different at the end of the day, or is it just... Right, the way that they're getting kapara, right? They're being atoned for as primary owners, or they're being atoned for thanks to their connections to the Kohen Gadol. So I don't know, spiritually speaking, I don't know if they end up differently at the end of the day. So it could be that our language of full kapara is not a precise one. I don't know for sure. I'm just using it as shorthand for, we probably should use direct or indirect kapara. You're right, it's probably a better way to say it. Yeah,
since the Kohanim don't have Nechala, they're getting everything from Trim and Maser, could
right.
we just say, like, from the beginning that it belongs to everyone anyways?
Or
do you have to say specifically the Kohen Gadol to the Kohanim, and you can't say, like, oh, it belongs to the whole Kohanim?
Right, I mean, if this... They get Trum and Maser, but they don't have a claim on everyone's assets, right? It's not a...
Right, but they don't really have a claim on their own stuff as much. No?
Once they own it?
Once it's theirs.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that's Rashi, and that's Tosos, right? And coming out of this is this debate about whether kufya, right, whether this indirect ownership requires a financial stake or not.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Rashash has a third way of reading the Gemara, which, I mean, this is just going to get a little bit complicated. But he actually thinks that the Gemara is going back to its old question of the Kohen Gadol who dies, and that's why I said that we should keep it on the back burner, right? Did you see it?
Yeah, that's what I was asking, because I wasn't sure if
so,
that was talking about like the whole thing or just that Rashash.
Right. So exactly. So how does he understands the question of the Gemara as being, wait a second, if the other Kohanim aren't full owners, then how could
they even like possibly go continue on with the Karban?
Exactly. How could someone step up and step on, right? And so the answer ends up being, well, I mean,
that it has to be Shelo, and it has to be his own. So meaning, of course, it has to be a new Karban.
But maybe it doesn't have to be new. Maybe someone could step in because the Hafkar. Exactly. Right. So that's so the way Rashash has the Gemara is that we're not asking about the way, according to Rashi, we're asking, how can you get kapara mikafya? According to Tosvos, we were asking, how do they get kapara at all? According to the Rashash, this is actually saying, wait a second, right? Don't forget Mem Tesim at base, right? That's the reason why we spent all the time on it last week. We're asking, how can a new Kohen Gadol step up with the old Kohen Gadol's carbon, right? If he's the real owner, and they're not. And then the answer was, no, they are real owners as well, right? Because the Afker Achman Rachman, right, the Torah gave away his money. Okay. Fine.
Does the Rashash think that it's literally a continuation of that same sugya, or it's just like, oh, now we can apply this question to the other sugya? Like, does the Rashash think we've been going through all of this just to arrive at a conclusion of what happens when their
Kohen
Gadol dies? I don't think it's an important distinction.
I think you'd have to say that we kind of went off the track at some point. Just now we're coming back. I mean, we haven't addressed it at all, but like Nun, you know, we've been skipping this whole Amud this whole time, right? Okay, so let's get into the Rambam and let's get into Tosfos and the Rav. Okay, so let's open up the Rambam to Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perek Hey, Halachi Yod Gimel, and we'll read it carefully. And this is going to be Rambam Part 1, because for next week we're going to see problems with the Rambam. Okay, there we have it. Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perek Hey, Halachi Yod Gimel.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You want to read?
I'll
read it slowly. Okay, great.
Par Yom Kippurim, Af Al Pi Shet Kohen Gadol Kunem Yishalo, Sh'anar Par Hachatar Asher Lo.
Okay, so let's stop there for a second. So what's the Rambam said so far?
So the par on Yom Kippur, even though the Kohen Gadol buys it from his own money, as the pasuk says, par kata sherlo, Hashem was mafkir all of his money to his brethren, the Kohanim.
Right. Any surprises so far?
No.
They don't have to be.
So.
Yeah, no, right. This is straight nun aleph amud beis, right? Okay. Okay. So what does that mean?
So now, because it's as if they didn't have any sort of shutafut, then they wouldn't be mitchaper.
Okay. Is there any word here that you'd underline? 100%. If they did not have partnership, right? So what does this sound like? Going back to last week.
Like we've.
It definitely sounds like Kayuta. What about last week's discussion?
Carbon
sounds a little bit. It sounds like is it a carbon shutvin? Right? Are we abandoning the claim that it's a carbon yachid?
Right.
Maybe. We'll.
Yes.
The whole.
Oh,
yeah, you are. Okay. Okay. Maybe we are. Right. We're saying it's a carbon shutvin. Okay. And how is it a carbon shutvin? Because they have full fledged. Ownership, because Hashem gave away the money, right? So now for the Rambam, right, we had been wondering, how can Kviyusa live with Yachid, right? And we said, oh, maybe there's a different level, right? Misa and Temura are different. The Rambam seems to say, no, Kviyusa means that they have a share, and that means that they're Shutfin. That means they're partners, right? So he's like, he's cut the Gordian knot a little bit, right? We're no longer calling it a carbon Yachid, we're calling it a carbon Shutfin. And they have a share. And 100% Lisa is right? This seems to be kapara mi kviusa, right? Okay, what comes up next? Okay, so we always get excited when the Ram has a therefore, right? Those are always important.
So if the Kohen Gadol dies before the par is shechted, the next Kohen that stands in his place
doesn't have to bring a new par, but he can check the par of the first Gadol.
Right. So what's the logic here? The logic of the therefore, right? Since X, therefore Y.
Because it was always considered his as well because of the Machir.
Right. Since they were partners, therefore, one of them can swoop in and bring it, which evokes who's shot in the Gemara? Who was making this point before?
Rashash,
100%, right? Okay, yeah, to ask you a question.
Is this the only thing that they think could be the problem with the second Kohen Gadol? Because we talked about other reasons why maybe he wouldn't be able to do that.
Great question. Let's read more of the halacha. And you'll tell me what you think.
So it's not considered a chatat that it's Baalim died and that then they have to let die.
Right, which was the question we had last week. And why doesn't have to die? Because it is a...
Because it's Shein.
Yeah, right. What's the exact language she uses?
Yeah.
Shein.
Oh, Shein chatat harabi mita.
So he's calling this a chatat harabin. He doesn't call it a chatat sibur. He calls it a chatat harabin.
Okay.
So are those the same thing? Are they different? I don't know. Let's think about hold on for next week. It's definitely not a carbon yachid anymore. And it sounds like it's not a carbon yachid because everyone else has their ownership. Okay. Now, he says one more piece in here. Mm-hmm. So, this was last week's case, right? What happens if he dies in the middle? So, Dasu, I think you were picking up on something before.
We had a whole other host of reasons about why the second one wouldn't be able to, even if it's his, then he has to do the whole avodah himself, but you can't stop in the middle.
And from the fact that the Rambam puts this halacha in here,
he says this is the primary reason, and the only thing that could possibly stop him, and it's not, so we're fine.
Right. That since they were co-owners the whole time, that allows someone else to swoop in with the dam, even. Right. So, yeah. Okay, that's a chiddush. That's definitely a chiddush. That was not hinted to in last week's Gemara at all. Okay, so that's the Rambam, right? The Rambam has said, look, fiusa means partnership, right? They are part. They do have a stake in the carbon, and that stake makes it no longer carbon yachad. According to the Rambam, makes it a carbon sibur, which I think is exactly what we're saying before, right? We have gotten rid of kufya, and we're saying they're teammates. Okay, very good. So, last 20 minutes we got here, we have to dig into a major problem. Right, there is a major problem if we go back and say that maybe kufya could exist, right? Because the Gemara at one point was obtaining the possibility of kufya. We may pass in that way. So we were saying the Gemara was saying back on Nineveh base that if they had this kapara mi kufya, if they had this indirect kapara, so could the Kohen Gadol make a tamura if the other Kohanim had this indirect kapara?
Yeah.
If they had the ownership of kufya, indirect kapara, so could the Kohen Gadol?
If it's indirect, yeah.
Yeah, right. Then he can make a tamura and they cannot. So Tosas asks, there is a Gemara in Zvachim which seems to explicitly contradict this claim, right? We're claiming that kapara mi kufya is not enough to be a problem for tamura. So what's the problem? Then you see what's going on in the Gemara in Zvachim, that famous base. What are we talking about?
Two sons that inherit an animal from their father.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? They bring it as a carbon, but they can't do tumor with it.
They can't do tumor with it. Why not?
Because
they're shutvin, right? Exactly. They're shutvin, right? They are partners in their father's animal. But it's their father's carbon that he left to them. So the father was the real owner. So what kind of kapara do the sons get, says the Gemara? They get kapara. They do get kapara from their father's carbon, but not full kapara. They only get kapara, or not direct kapara. They only get kapara, mi kufya. Gemara says they get kapara mikafya. So what's the problem? So let's make this just very clear here.
So according to our Gemara, Kohanim mi kufya, which means indirect kapara, means yes to move. Right? It is not a carbon shutfin, and the Kohen Gadol is not bothered by these little Kohanim with their kapara mi kufya. The Kohen Gadol can make it to move. But if you have Yorshim, right? So they're Miskaprim, Mikufya. But we say no Tamura.
Does the Kohanim Miskaprim Mikufya yes equals yes Tamura? That's from the Gemara, or that's according to
Yep. For the Kohen Gadol.
Who's the person that's again?
The brothers. We say the brothers are Shutfin, so therefore they're good Tamura, because the carbon of Shutfin has no Tamura. But the Par Kohen Gadol, it's not a carbon of Shutfin, so there is Tamura. But that doesn't make any sense, because in both cases we have Kapara Mikafya. So how come in one case the Yorashim get their Kapara indirectly, and yet they're considered partners, and they can't do a Tamura? But for the Par Kohen Gadol, we say, they're just indirect atonees, so it's not Shutfin, and the Kohen Gadol can make a Tamura. That's the question.
Why is this? I mean, the idea of Kufya, right, is to some extent saying that there exists a separation between ownership and between being able to be atoned by something, right? That there exists some sort of separation between the two, meaning one could not be a real owner of something and could be atoned by it in
right.
our case.
Right.
But then that also seems to solve, that separation seems to also solve the problem of why this isn't a contradiction the other way. Because one could say, just like one can be the owner of something and one cannot atone, but it can atone for other people who aren't the owners. Similarly, just because the atonement doesn't transfer in the full way, doesn't mean that the ownership doesn't transfer in the full way.
100%, and that's exactly that's going to be the core of the Rav's answer, in one version. Yeah. So we'll very good. So that's going to be one approach. It's going to say basically one approach. What the Rav is going to develop is we're going to talk about ownership of the ownership. What did Tosfos have to say? What's Tosfos' basic distinction? So, let's look at it inside.
Whether it's considered a carbon shutfin or not.
But why should one be considered a carbon shutfin and one not be?
Because the Yorshim actually have financial stake in the... Wait, what are we talking about?
So right now we're saying, right, the Par Kohen Gadol, we're saying not, no shutfin.
Mm-hmm.
In the inheritance case, we're saying yes. So what are the grounds for distinction this way, according to us? There's one big difference between the two cases. There's one person who exists in one case who doesn't exist in the other case. Kohen Gadol, right? So Tosa say, when you have a dominant person, so then what happens to the people who are getting Kapara Mikufya?
Nah.
They're gone, right? You could compare it to the stars when the sun comes out, right? You have all these Kohanim who are getting Kapara Mikufya. So what happens when the sun comes out? They're there. They're just irrelevant, right? They've been totally dominated by the Kohen Gadol. So if the whole idea of should that partners can't make a temura is that, right, well, I'm the owner, you're the owner, we're not full owners, right, there's competition over ownership. Guess what? When there's one kapara mikiva, mikviusa, one big kahuna, and then a bunch of little people, so the big kahuna wins, right, and the little people can't do anything, right? So that's Tosis's answer. It's not that the kohanim, we're not saying that the...
I hate that thing.
We're not saying that in a vacuum, could Kufya have enough ownership to create Temura according to Tosos?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? They are considered owners, but they're blinded, right, by the overwhelming ownership of the Kohen Gadol. That's how Tosos understands the difference, right? So according to Tosos, Kufya could be relevant for Temura, could be a Shatuf, but... he's wiped out by the main owners. Okay, so the Rav did not go in that direction. Did not go in the direction of emphasizing that the Kohen Gadol kind of takes over the show. He emphasizes the relative strengths or weaknesses of Kufya itself. Right, it's not that you always have Kufya, and then it's just a question of is it outshone by the sun or not. The distinction he makes is, look, sometimes you have a kufya, which is like the stars at night, which can be strong enough, and sometimes you have a kufya, which is like a black hole, which doesn't do anything at all. Okay, so he says this in two different ways, though. Did you guys get to see it inside? The way it's presented in the Shiri on Yom Kippur versus in the Yegros HaGrid?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
you compared the two, but...
Yeah.
Okay. In the footnote for the read the footnotes to the Marma Komos.
Oh yeah.
So
that's always we always forget to read your footnotes. Oh yeah.
I'll put those in a different color. It was on the bottom of the page.
That's because I zoom in and then
oh.
I zoom out.
Oh. Or want to be.
Yeah, because I just open it and I don't scroll down.
Got it. Okay. Whatever. We'll make the best of it. So first of all, everyone should be familiar with this book, Yegros HaGrid. The letters of the Rav, written between the age of like 13 and 31. Mostly between the ages of 18 and 31, so we shouldn't get too carried away. But yeah, I first heard of this when I was in Gush, and I think Rav Lichtenstein assigned it to the Shir on something in Kesef Kiddushin, and he had some comments about how awesome this is. And it is. There's also one letter in here from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik as a 10-year-old, which is great.
Is that the one that's two different versions?
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's 10-year-olds. But they're this is like a, I mean, it's mostly written as letters to his father, so it's not always the easiest stuff to read because he's writing to what you would call an advanced audience. But the chidushim are essential, and a lot of stuff which like he became famous for in Shirim he gave when he was like 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, he was already writing in his 20s. He is as a college student, so. Yeah, so here's one of them because we have one version of what he said in the summer shirim, right, in the Yom Kippur book, and we have one version in the Yegros HaGrid. But they're actually different and in interesting ways. Okay, so in the shirim on Yom Kippur, right. So if you have it open because it was one of the source codes that I attached. So what does he have to say? So we are in the Yom Kippur one. Shiri Hagrid Amid Kuf Beis to Kuf Gimel. So you have this footnote 6, and that's the bottom paragraph of the page. So says the Rav, Ach Nirash Efsharlatariat Gam Bofen Acher. Right. So he quotes Tosos, who said, "Look, right, the stars and the sun, right? That the stars get blinded by the sun." He says, "I'm going to give a different answer." The Bapar. The main financial owner is the Kohen Gadol. Sha'arei mishalo huba. After all, he's the one who buys it and brings it. The ein l'sha'ar ha'kohanim zikai lav. The other kohanim have no relationship to it. Ela al yedei kaparasam. Only via their atonement. De lagabe kapara af gerei rachmana lagabe be'gazad aron. In order to get atonement, Hashem... was mafgir the Kohen Gadol's money. And Mekivan Shekain, since that's the case, Heyosha Kapara Hi, Rak Mikufya, Ein ha-karban ho-feich karban ha-shutvin ve-koin ha-gadol me-mirba. Right? Since they're only getting a kapara from kufya, it's not a karban ha-shutvin, and the koin gadol can do tamura. Ach, behiniach behemel l'shnei banav, when someone inherits, when two people inherit a karban, ha-reker ha-bala sam-memonit, who, mamet shel ha-yorashim, right? Who is the real owner of the karban? Who owns it financially?
Both sons,
right? So in one case, you have real financial ownership to both sons, and therefore, since they are getting kapara indirectly, but they are the financial owners, are they shutvin for tamura?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? Because they have full financial ownership. So kapara mikufya plus full financial ownership means that no tamura. Whereas, when it comes to kohen gadol, what exactly is going on there? What kind of ownership do they have?
No ownership.
So that's the problem, because does he say no ownership here?
He says it's hefker, and then they're mechaber from kufya.
So, but if he's applying hefker,
does that mean that they own it at that point?
It means that they own it, right? They have a share, right? Afgare rachmana mamone, Hashem made his money hefker, right? And here the Rav is operating within Rashi's category that even kapara mikufya involves some sort of ownership. So, what he seems to be saying, this is hard to figure out exactly what it actually means, but a mashal from the business world would be, right, when you have stocks, so you have different classes of shareholder, right? You know, everybody can own stock in a company, but you have your class A shareholders, and you have your class B shareholders, right? And different classes of stock ownership come with different rights, right? So you can say that I own a share in the company, but not all owners are created equal. Right, qualitatively, not just quantitatively. So that's what the Rav seems to be saying here, is that, yeah, the Torah gave them ownership in the karban, but he only gave them ownership in the karban so that they could get kapara. They're not real owners. They have ownership, but they're not real owners. They're class B shareholders. I'll be honest, I don't really know what that means, like in halachic terms, but that's what he's saying here. In the Igros HaGrid, the way it was originally written, it's written much more simply, because in the Igros HaGrid, he says, look, you kapara mikufya, there's no financial ownership at all, right? So when you're inheriting the karban, so that kapara mikufya has ownership, because they're inheriting their father's animal. Who's the owner of this animal? It's not the father, because he's no longer alive. The sons are the owners, right? So therefore, they have indirect atonement, but they have financial ownership, right? Whereas the Kohanim have indirect atonement with no ownership, right? So in that case, it's not a case of they could have they could have been owners, but the Kohen Gadol blots them out like Tosfos. He's just saying they have no ownership whatsoever, right? They get indirect kapara, that has no ownership, so they're out. It's a totally different case. Yorshim are indirect kapara with ownership. Kohanim are indirect kapara with no ownership. That's how the Rav explains it in the Igros HaGrid, which is easier to understand. The only question is, where exactly does this kapara mikufya come from, right? When you get indirect kapara, when the Kohanim are getting indirect kapara, what is the mechanism that provides the Kohanim with kapara from the Kohen Gadol's karban? So the way he had it in the shiurim, that I understood, they have a financial stake. We didn't understand what it means to be class B shareholders, not class A shareholders, but at least I understand that they're getting their kapara by being shareholders, right? Which is what Rashi is assuming as well. The way the Rav and the Igros HaGrid, and the way Tosos, and the way the Rambam, because he thinks that ownership means kavusa. So the way that all three of them, if you think that kufya has no ownership, then you need to explain what exactly is this mechanism that gives the Kohanim kapara from the Kohen Gadol's karban. Maybe it's like Rabbeinu Chananel said, that it's just the fact that he has them in mind when he says the vidui. I guess that's probably what it is. I'm sure you could do work on the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the other Kohanim, that, you know, if something which helps him definitionally helps them, but I don't know anything to say that confidently. Okay, so just to nail down a couple of nafkamina, which I think will really help sharpen the interest in the Rav and Tosfos, and then we'll close up shop, right? So again, so for Tosfos, we're saying that the Kohanim had the potential to be Shutvin for Temura, but they get dominated and blinded by the Kohen Gadol, right? Whereas the Rav is saying, no, the Kohanim are nothing, right? They're either Class B shareholders, not enough of owners to do anything, or they're not owners at all, right? And that's why the Kohen Gadol would have no problem doing Temura, right? So according to Tosfos, Kohen Gadol does Temura because he just dominates everyone else. According to the Rav and Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does Temura because the other Kohanim are Class B shareholders, and that's not enough to raise any trouble. And according to Rav Yigas Agri, the Kohen Gadol does Temura because he's the only man in town. They have atonement, but they don't have ownership at all. So two nafkamina potentially. Number one, so we're saying that the other Kohanim are not able to perform Temura. Is there a prohibition on them to try?
What?
Is there a prohibition on the other Kohanim to try to do a Temura? So the Rambam rules that when you have shutfin, when you have partners, right? So again, so Raquel and I had our carbonola. So neither one of us was able to change, to create a temura with this animal. But the Rambam says, if you have two shutfin, they may not try to do so. And there's malkos, right? So if one of us would try to do a temura, we would get whipped, because that's usser, but it would not have been effective. Okay, so what if a Kohen comes along and tries to do temura to the Kohen Gadol's carbon? So we know it's not going to work for whatever reason, but is it usser? So what do we think?
Maybe. Depending on the focus of Temura.
Okay, so don't get into that. So let's go back to our case, right? So again, so Raquel and I have our carbon, right? And then Adam comes along and tries to do a Temura to our carbon Ola, right? Third party tries to do Temura to our Ola. Are you going to be in trouble? Did you do anything?
Oh, no, it's a finger bar Temura. You want to be.
You did nothing, right? You are totally irrelevant. If a third party tries to do Temura to our carbon, that is a waste of time and a waste of breath. So what about these Kohanim? These Kufya Kohanim. If they try to do a Temura to the Kohen Gadol's carbon, are they going to be over a Nisr or not? What do we think? Let's plug it in for the Rav and plug it in for Tosos.
Well, according to the Rav in Igra, where he says there's no ownership at all, then no, they're not in trouble at all.
Certainly, 100%. I would bet the Rav and the Shirim would say the same thing. And what about Tosos? What about Tosos? Who said that their owners, just they can't do Temura because he's such a more powerful owner that they get blinded out.
Owners,
I would think so. But Pashas, I would think that there is an issue of Temura.
Why is that so different than the concept of a Class A versus Class B shareholder? Isn't that basically the same thing?
No, because the Class B shareholder, you could go either way. The Class B shareholder never had, in a vacuum, could not do Temura. Right? According to Tosfos, the Kohanim in a vacuum could do Temura. They're just not living in a vacuum. According to the Rav and the Shirim, you probably could go either way. According to Tosos, you would think that there is an Isser, which the Meiri actually says explicitly. Meiri says there is an Isser. And according to the Rav and the Igros, you would say there's no Isser. Okay, that's Nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, which is just an interesting one. And I saw a couple of our friends who asked this as a question. And if they learned the Rav, they wouldn't have had this question, maybe. You have two people who own a regular carbon, right? One of the two people dies, leaving behind a couple of sons. So, who now are the owners of this carbon? One partner dies, leaving behind, right, and now so we have one original owner and we have two yorshim. So what's the reality here? Exactly. So, right? So we have the live one seems to be filling the shoes of the Kohen Gadol because he has his full-fledged kapara. And the sons?
Why don't they also inherit each? Like, why don't they become full shutvin with the live one?
Because they don't get direct kapara. Right?
They still have ownership over it, but they don't get direct kapara.
Right. Which happens to be a whole thing the Rav has to prove. But So according to the Rav, is this even a question? Right? Can the here? Let me just sharpen this. Let me just get this down very quickly. Right. So we have Reuben and Shimon. And Shimon, right? They're partners, right? So since they're partners, can they do Temura?
No.
No, right? So at this stage in life, no Temura. Okay. Now, Reuben passes away, and he leaves behind, he leaves Levi, his son. Now, Shimon's kapara is... What kind of kapara is Shimon getting? The original guy? The Yusa, exactly. And what kind of kapara is Levi getting? Kufya. So we have one owner who has kapara mikviyusa, and we have one owner whose kapara is mikufya. So, can Shimon now do Temura?
So now he can.
What do you think?
Now he can, because his like, kapara's kviyusa, like, it outshines the...
So according to Tosfos, exactly, according to Tosfos, we're going to say that Shimon outshines Levi. Right, and Shimon now should be able to perform Temura, because just like the Kohen Gadol dominated the other Kohanim, right? So too Shimon dominates Levi, which happens to be a problem because to say that is a big chiddush. So Achronim are troubled by saying that, but that seems to be the result of Tosos's logic, right? So what's the Rav going to say about this case? Is this a carbon of Shutfin or not?
Are you able to somehow like eliminate Levi, like by buying it from him or something?
Okay, so maybe you could do a buyout, but assuming no buyout.
Okay.
So Levi's in the picture. Levi is stubbornly staying in the picture, and Shimon wants to do a Temura despite Levi's irritating presence.
Like class B, so...
He's not an owner at all, Levi.
So when did the Rav say he's not an owner at all?
Oh, and he's a Yorish.
No, but Yorish is, though, is an owner.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Right, that's the point. When did we said Kufya, there are two different types of Kufya according to the Rav, right? There's the Kohanim, where the Kohen Gadol is the man running the show, and the other Kohanim either get some Class D stake, or more simply, they just get atonement with no ownership at all. In that situation, we're going to say that the Kohen Gadol runs the show. But the Kufya of the Yorshim, according to the Rav, what kind of... Are they owners, Yorshim?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yorshim are owners, right? So when you have Levi who's inheriting Reuven, are we going to call Shimon and Levi Shutfin in the Karban? Are we going to say that Levi is a co-owner of the Karban?
Yes.
Absolutely. Right? Don't get blunt. Don't say, oh, well, it's a Kufya versus Kviusa. We don't say Kufya versus Kviusa. We look at the Kufya and evaluate whether it in of itself it has ownership or not. And the Rav said in the case of Yom Kippur, that was a no ownership or low ownership kind of kufya. And Yorshin is a with ownership kind of kapar. Right? So those are going to be two nafkamina between Tosos and the Rav. Number one, is there an isser for the Kohanim to try? Right? So according to Tosos, there should be, because they are owners, they're just blinded, but they still can't try to do it tomorrow. And the second Afkamina is going to be in the case where where a regular carbon, one shetiv, dies. Tosas probably have to say, and that's a bit of a problem, that you have a kviyusa versus a kufya, so the Shimon can now do Temura, and they're obviously going to say, no, it's still a carbon of shetivin, because this is a kufya with ownership. Okay. Any questions?
No.
Okay, awesome. So next week we will we've dug into the role of the other Kohanim. Next week, we'll look at what exactly the relationship of the Kohen Gadol is with his carbon, and then we'll move on from Parkland Gadol. Okay, bye.
Thank you.